Good morning, everyone. This is Christopher Glenn with the CBS World News Roundup. They'll be ready to frame me again in 2 weeks, as John Gotti, reputed lord of the nation's biggest crime family, a New York jury set him free yesterday, returning not guilty verdicts on all counts against him and six co-defendants after a lengthy trial. The decision shocked prosecutors, who have had a nearly unbroken string of successes against underworld bosses in recent years. Mary Gay Taylor of WCBS Radio has the story.
John Gotti is the only reputed boss of one of the five New York City mafia families not convicted of racketeering and facing prison. He is 46, flamboyant, with a reputation for violence. Prosecutors call him a throwback. The conservative, aging New York mafia leaders recently convicted under the federal racketeering statute face more years in prison than they probably have to live. Reputed Bonanno boss Philip Rusty Restelli, convicted in Brooklyn. The commission case against the so-called Mafia Board of Directors took care of reputed Lucchese boss Anthony Tony Ducks Corallo, Colombo boss Carmine Jr. Persico, and Genovese boss Anthony Fat Tony Salerno. Manhattan prosecutors have also convicted major underbosses, and in the Pizza Connection heroin case, Sicilian mafia leaders operating in New York and Italy. Someone outside took care of reputed Gambino boss Paul Castellano, who was gunned down in front of Sparks restaurant before he could be convicted in the commission case. Federal law enforcement officials say John Gotti ordered the hit and succeeded him. The case Gotti just beat was based on his alleged activities as a Gambino crew captain. There are prosecutors in the wings putting together new cases against him. Mary Gay Taylor for CBS News, New York.
The deadline has come and gone, and there's no news on the fate of a French hostage being held by the Lebanese terrorist group, which calls itself the Revolutionary Justice Organization.
Paris is still waiting for word from Beirut, waiting for information on a French hostage threatened with execution today by his kidnappers unless demands are met. France implicitly rejected the kidnappers' ultimatum. The government said it would not give in to blackmail, and there's been no public clarification by President Mitterrand of his remarks on hostages and French arms sales to Iraq, which is what the kidnappers demanded to hear. France has launched intense diplomatic efforts to prevent the kidnappers from carrying out their threat to try and execute French hostage Jean-Louis Normandin. French diplomacy is believed to involve the Syrian government, whose troops now occupy West Beirut. The kidnappers' communique issued on Thursday was the first communique from any group holding hostages in Lebanon since Syrian troops moved into West Beirut, and many analysts here see it as a kind of test case for Syrian control. The group holding Normandin also holds hostages Edward Tracy and James Sicipio, but the communique on Thursday did not mention those two Americans. Doug Tinnell, CBS News, Paris.
The combatants for the Republican presidential nomination next year are spending the weekend up in New Hampshire, sizing each other up and being sized up by the voters in the state that holds the first-in-the-nation primary. Jim D'Souza of our Concord affiliate, WKXL, reports from Nashua.
The Northeast Regional Leadership Conference, continuing through the weekend, is subtitled A Weekend with the Next President of the United States. Men with the last names Kemp, Dole, Robertson, Haig, Rumsfeld, and DuPont worked the crowd Friday night as it dined on filet mignon and shrimp. The featured speaker, Secretary of Education William Bennett, titled his address The Constitution's Children, reminding his audience that the American Revolution is the only revolution not to betray its kids. Bennett acknowledged that school courses on drugs, teen pregnancy, and suicide may guide some teens in the right direction.
But there is no quick fix solution to the problems of the young, except the long-term efforts of adults on their behalf. We cannot replace the family, the church, and other helpful adults with a course. The family is the original Department of Health, Education, and Welfare.
Today, George Bush makes a featured appearance trying to win the allegiance of prominent Republicans from 13 northeastern states. Jim D'Souza for CBS News, Nashua, New Hampshire.
In a media blitz, Soviet citizens are being reminded that there can be no slacking off as the nation gets set to celebrate the 70th anniversary of the Bolshevik Revolution this year.
Soviet newspapers and radio broadcasts are telling the people that the Communist Party is united behind Mikhail Gorbachev's campaign for a little more openness and democracy. A statement put out by the Party Central Committee says that most of the work still lies ahead in building the Soviet Union into a vital economic power. Up to now, Western diplomats assessing Gorbachev's reforms have estimated that he has the backing of a majority in the Politburo, but faced opposition in the larger Central Committee. Gorbachev himself has repeatedly referred to resistance from party members skeptical of his new course. Today's statement is a signal that the Central Committee is backing the reforms. Significantly, the statement acknowledges that there have been violations of legality and democratic norms, and says that mistakes of the past will not be repeated. John Sheehan, CBS News, Moscow.
Terrorists in Northern Ireland are hard at work again, but this time a group other than the outlawed Irish Republican Army is claiming responsibility. Conor Cavanaugh has details from Belfast.
The security forces in Northern Ireland, already fully stretched by yesterday's IRA bomb blitz in Belfast, are this morning at the scene of another murder, the second in 24 hours. The Irish National Liberation Army, a hardline terrorist group, has claimed responsibility for the murder of a County Down man. He was shot in the head and dumped on a country road near Newry, on the border with the Irish Republic. The INLA claim he'd been a paid police informer who'd passed on details of arms dumps and identified wanted men. Not far away, a 57-year-old truck driver was shot dead by the IRA, who claimed he was a part-time soldier, but police say it was a case of mistaken identity. Three policemen are still in hospital following yesterday's car bomb attack at the gates of a Belfast cemetery, while businessmen in the city are getting back to normal after four bomb attacks on property and a series of bomb hoaxes. Conor Cavanaugh for CBS News, Belfast.
President Reagan's popularity has been slipping in recent polls. He's not alone, though. Gordon Joseloff reports from Tokyo.
Not since he came into office a little over 4 years ago has Prime Minister Nakasone's popularity been this low. The latest survey published in today's Asahi Shimbun shows only 25% of those polled back Nakasone. That's down from a 39% approval rating in December. It's no secret what's behind the plunge in popularity, mostly Nakasone's backing of a proposed 5% sales tax, similar to Europe's value-added tax. The newspaper says its survey found 82% opposed to the tax. But the newspaper says contributing to Nakasone's lower popularity was a planned increase in defense spending. Despite the unpopularity of the proposed tax, the prime minister has reiterated his determination to push it through. In protest, opposition parties have stalled proceedings in parliament, but Prime Minister Nakasone is showing no signs of compromise. Gordon Joseloff, CBS News, Tokyo.
Time on the World News Roundup, 10 after.